Hey everybody, I'm finally back with a new episode after I think it was about a month and a half, more or less, since last episode. I apologized for going ghost during all this time and that I didn't let you guys know, perhaps. The main reason why I disappeared all this time was mainly because I had quite a lot of work for college and I wasn't really productive. I mean, not gonna lie. I wasn't really productive with my time during quarantine, but I mean, never mind about that now. I'm back again, and I hope that you guys keep tuning in into audio class. I hope you're all in good health, that your families are doing well, and that now you guys, well, all of us can enjoy some freedom and fresh air after a couple of tough weeks of lockdown. Today, I decided to talk about something that I read in an article in The Economist about the gap that exists between the financial markets and what's actually going on in the economy. It was written several weeks ago, and it's titled as A Dangerous Gap. And the reason why I think this is something that is worth talking about is that it's pretty incredible the way that the stock markets managed to go bullish for about a month and a half or so, after the S&P lost about a third of its value by late March. And frankly, more than half of the loss has already recovered since the 23rd of March. And I think that's something that's pretty unprecedented. We haven't really seen a climb in stocks in such a little small amount of time. And investors around the world were at some point panicking and they began selling shares like crazy. So we saw that all markets were red. And then they came back for the massive opportunities that were available by buying shares at really low prices. And this and the fact that central banks obviously bought corporate bonds and with their whole pandemic packages and quantitative easing by buying all kinds of assets from mainly corporate bonds, different companies, just to help business, big businesses, big corporations to be able to survive. And so these central banks, they managed to help the financial markets pick up the pace again. But what happens in financial markets is completely different to what is actually happening in the real world, on what we see on the street. It doesn't truly reflect reality. The reality is that startups and local businesses, small, medium-sized, they see themselves with no choice but to close down due to their inability to get cash flowing as consumer confidence fell in general as well. And people, well, household income actually fell between an estimated 30 to 50% around the world in April, meaning that people had to cut corners in their expenses for things like traveling, obviously, going out for bars, furnishing and appliances, consumer electronics, for apparel, and pretty much any kind of service, most services. So there's no income for households. That means that there's not going to be any cash for businesses. So business owners are closing down, some temporarily, but some maybe permanently. And then people are unemployed. People are going to start to be dependent on welfare, you know, food stamps. People maybe might not be able to feed their kids and stuff. So yeah, it's a bit of a tough situation for a lot of people. And this is the reality of what's actually going on. Big corporations are getting the help from the central banks through the open market operations, such as the bond purchasing, corporate bonds, meaning that companies have cash to probably be able to maybe survive or have a bit of liquidity flowing into their wallets. Shares soared in the US thanks to the Fed, thanks to Uncle Sam, and obviously the money printing machine. In the case of the Federal Reserve, the Fed, they purchased all types of corporate debt, including junk bonds. And these types of bonds are very high yielding because businesses offer very high interest rates to investors as a way to obtain liquidity quickly. The problem is that there's a chance that company might not pay you back everything that they owe the central bank. And even for investors who purchased these kind of junk corporate bonds. So yes, it's high yielding, but it's also very risky. There's high risk involved. Imagine if the Fed starts buying bonds from companies who actually might not be able to pay them back. That's going to mean more money printing, which can be risky in terms of currency devaluation. And that would also mean that people are not going to demand more dollars. And that's going to have an impact, obviously, on interest rates, as they're probably going to go below zero if they haven't already. So the price of money is going to be well below zero. And that's why it's actually a pretty good time to switch to alternative currencies, such as maybe commodities like gold and silver, and obviously Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all these cryptos. And that's why we were paying attention to markets. We could see that, gold, I think it managed to reach $1,800 the ounce or so. $1,700 and close to $1,800 at some point. And yeah, investors are finding a lot of good opportunities there in alternatives to fiat currency, helicopter cash money, whatever you prefer to call it. And also, even cruise line firms right now are receiving cash from the central banks from the whole quantitative easing plan that the central bank has enforced, and potentially in the coming months. It might be a risk because there's a chance that there might be a second wave of the virus, and this is obviously going to impact directly their demand. They're going to have zero demand, as they've been having throughout pretty much the whole year. So do you think that cruise lines, for example, if they offer junk bonds and they just can't get any customers because of the current situation, do you think that they're going to be able to pay back the interest and the money that the Fed gave them and investors gave them? I highly doubt it, to be honest. And over the past 8 weeks or so, companies have issued over $560 billion of bonds. Now it might be at close to $600 billion in bonds. In the case of government bonds, some of them, such as US bonds, are worth zero right now. Like the six-month bond has a coupon rate of zero. Literally zero, according to Bloomberg. And the coupon rate, in case you don't know, they're the annual coupon payments that are paid by the issuer relative to the initial or face value. It's the yield of the bond that's paid on its issue date. And this yield can change as the value of the bond also changes, thus giving the bond's yield to maturity. If we look at Japan, for example, the 9-year yield is -0.023%. That's pretty crazy. And in Germany, Switzerland, and the Netherlands, and maybe some other European countries as well, the 10-year bond is already at negative rates. But if you decide to purchase bonds from countries like Mexico, who offer 6.10% for the 10-year bond, then sure, that's a very tasty yield, but there's also risk as well with these countries that may end up in default. Just take a look at their debt relative to their GDP. So if you hold some bonds with low or negative yields, you're guaranteed to lose money if you hold it until maturity, especially during, in terms of inflation-adjusted terms, as I've mentioned in a previous video. So better go check that out. I'm sure you're not going to regret it. So go check that out. It's a very nice episode. And so obviously this makes, with this whole bond situation going on, it's going to make stocks a much more lucrative option. Many investors who bought shares in late March entered the market with the expectation that companies will make profit long after the pandemic has given way to recovery. And we'll see what is the shape of recovery, if it's U, if it's V, if it's W, if it's, we don't know. Depends on maybe the second wave, perhaps. And stock exchanges in Britain and all over Europe have experienced tremendous drops in stock prices, as many of the big companies and the companies that are listed are from industries such as car manufacturing, banking, and energy, which are all sectors who have been heavily affected. And we have companies such as Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook. We've seen that their shares have soared and are now actually at all-time highs for these specific big tech companies. The market cap for these companies already make up a fifth of the S&P's total. I mean, this could be because people involved in asset management and mutual funds and investment banking probably played a major role in this. Also, mainly retail, individual traders and stuff. And also buybacks as well from companies, probably just to like store a bit the market. Doesn't really reflect what's actually going on. And when I read the article that I mentioned earlier, A Dangerous Gap, the writer made some interesting points on how the stock market reaching such high levels can actually be a bad thing. First of all, it's likely that we're going to experience an aftershock. So that means that the virus is going to be back for sure. Well, it's highly, very likely that it's going to be back in the fall and winter. The US GDP for the second quarter is expected to fall 10% with respect to last year's second quarter. And also cutting costs through furloughs may help some businesses perhaps break even or maintain some of the margin, but it's going to eventually decrease demand in the short, medium term. Secondly, the article also talked about how in moments where there's like extended booms, there's also a possibility that companies can commit fraud. For example, back in April, the Chinese Starbucks called Luckin Coffee hid the giant losses that they were making so that they could actually attract shareholders and investors. And the problem with fraud, if you're asking, well, what does fraud have to do with financial markets? What it can do is that it can reduce investor confidence to a point where companies can actually go out of business, like in the case of Lehman Brothers in 2008 or Enron back in 2001. And lastly, the article pointed out that there can be political backlash since governments backing big corporations with subsidies might leave everyone else without their piece of the pie or of the welfare or whatever it is, any form of money that they receive from because of the situation. And obviously subsidies implies more government spending, which will cause even more debt, put them into more debt, meaning that the firms and households are going to suffer in the future severely, probably, because they're the ones going to have to pay for the recovery bill through taxes. In 2017, the US had a tax reform where the federal corporate tax rate fell from 30 to 21%. Now we're going to see how that will change, and that's going to affect probably Trump's re-election. And not to mention with the social unrest that the US is currently going through, this isn't really helping the US. So basically what I want to say is that the stock market is pretty fake right now. What happens in Wall Street obviously does not reflect what happens on the Main Street. Stocks right now are overvalued more than ever before in some cases. And the smart money is on the sidelines, and the Fed is pretty much the only money that's going into the markets. Well, obviously, anyone who has cash to invest in, like Mr. Soros, for example, he loves these kind of situations. He loves volatility. And with the US reaching all-time highs in unemployment and probably an all-time drop in GDP since data was recorded, there's clearly going to be a correction from the peaks in stocks. Stocks will have to fall, for sure. So, sometime soon, I think. Even Warren Buffett right now, he refuses to invest. And the only thing that's actually sustaining this whole situation are the sticks that are held by the Fed and central banks by inflating stock prices so that they can eventually fall. And that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure that you share this podcast and you spread the word about it, because you know that really helps me a lot. Discuss this whole topic with people around you. listen to the episode again if you really want the concepts to sink in. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. In LinkedIn, you can find me as Rodrigo Valverde. But for the rest, you can just type in audio class experience and I'll pop up. And thanks for tuning in today, guys. I hope that you have a wonderful day. Make sure that you stay safe. Take care. And I hope to have you next time. See you.